Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
Today, in our time together, I want us to look at when Jesus comes. And the reason for that is, brothers and sisters in Christ, is because the religious world as a whole seems to hold to premillennial doctrine. And what I mean by that is that they assert that whenever Jesus Christ comes back, that there's going to be this rapturing away of the saints, and that the saints are going to stand before God in judgment, and it is at that time that these individuals will receive their reward, and after 3.5 years, then there will be great tribulation here upon the face of the earth, and there will be those who are going forth with a proclamation of how salvation can still be brought forth through Jesus Christ, and there will be multitudes of people who will obey the gospel. And then at the close of that other 3.5 years, then we understand that as they present, Jesus will come, and then Jesus will reign here on this earth over a kingdom that He then establishes for some 1,000 years. And then at the close of that 1,000 years, then that Jesus will take all away unto the final judgment. Good people, as New Testament Christians, we do not believe in premillennialism. Why? Because the Bible gives us very explicit detail in regard to what is going to take place whenever Jesus Christ comes back, and those things that are asserted by premillennials, those things are not found in Scripture. They are in no sense supported in the Bible. In the Old Testament Scripture, good people, we understand the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming. In fact, we understand in the beginning here that before God created the universe and mankind, that God knew that man was going to sin against Him. And as a result of God's love and God's desire to have a relationship with man, God instituted a plan in eternity for the redemption of man in Jesus Christ. We understand this as is taught by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, as well as what the Apostle Paul taught to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, is that before the foundation of the world, God had a plan in Christ. Before the world was ever created, God intended, God desired, and God had a plan in place for the redemption of mankind's soul. And good people, we understand, as is taught in the Bible, God then therefore introduced His plan in the Garden of Eden. God had commanded Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17 that they could partake of every tree of the garden except for that tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in the day that they would partake of it, that they would surely die. Good people, we understand, as is taught in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 and following, that Eve is deceived by Satan, and also, though we understand that Adam is caught up in all of this, and both Adam and Eve partake of the forbidden tree. And as a result of that, good people, God pronounced a judgment upon them, is that the woman would suffer in her labor and bringing forth children into the world. And man is punished to where now the earth is not going to just supply everything by itself, but rather is that it's going to produce thorns and thistles, and that man is going to have to earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. But in the context of what we find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God introduced His eternal plan to bring forth Jesus Christ into the world so that mankind could indeed would have a means of justification before Him. We understand, as it taught throughout the Old Testament Scripture, time and again the prophets of old announced that Jesus Christ is coming, that the Messiah is coming. And good people, in all of this, we understand, as is taught by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 18 through 20, is that these men did not fully always understand what it was that they were proclaiming, but yet at the same time, they were constantly presenting the fact that the Messiah was going to come into the world. The Old Testament says over and over again, Jesus Christ is coming. Whenever we come into the New Testament Scripture, the Bible tells us in the Gospel accounts that Jesus came into the world. Jesus came in the fullness of time. He did not come whenever man thought that he should come into the world, but rather Jesus came in compliance to the will of God. He came in the time in which God had prepared the world for Jesus to enter into the world. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. We also understand that whenever Jesus Christ came into this world, that he was born of a virgin. We understand, as is taught from the book of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Some 8 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear forth a child, and that that child's name should be called Emmanuel, literally interpreted God with us. Good people, whenever we understand the context of Matthew chapter 1 verses 23 through 25, Jesus fits that criteria. Jesus comes into the world born of the Virgin Mary, and his name is assigned Emmanuel, literally interpreted God with us. Jesus came into the world and he was born of a virgin, born under the law. Well, what does it mean that he was born under the law? Good people, he was born under the law of Moses, but yet at the same time, he was introduced in his death, not that law, not an offshoot of that law, but rather he would nail that law to the cross, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and he would establish a new and better covenant, Hebrews chapter 8 through Hebrews chapter 10. In this, while he was born under the law, we understand that Jesus Christ our Lord, in his coming to this world, lived a perfect life. Jesus kept the law perfectly. No man, up to that point in time, nor since, has been able to state that. But rather, Jesus Christ knew the law of Moses, and Jesus was all about fulfilling that law as well as making certain that he complied with all of the stipulations laid down according to that law. And good people, what do we find in regard to Jesus' life here? He did exactly as the law commanded him to do until it was nailed to the cross. Why did Jesus come to this world? Good people, Jesus came to this world to seek and to save the lost. This is exactly what he stated in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He says, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. We understand in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Good people, what an amazing statement we find here concerning God's love. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world to die for us. And it's interesting in the context of all this is that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. In fact, in John chapter 3 and verse 17, we understand that this is stated explicitly, that he did not send him into the world to condemn the world. Why didn't God send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world? The answer is very obvious, because the world was already condemned. The world didn't need someone to come and to condemn them, because they were already separated from God, and what they needed was someone to come and to point out the fact of this separation, and now to offer a means of justification. The gospel account tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world, and that indeed he is indeed God's means of salvation for the souls of mankind. The people also, we understand concerning what we find in the New Testament Scripture, the final declaration is that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible tells us that Jesus died at Calvary's cross for our sins. He died a very cruel and undeserving death, and in that I mean is that he had not done anything to deserve what it was that he received, but rather he died for our sins, for our transgressions, as Isaiah 53 verses 1 through 12 had depicted it would be. Jesus died at the cross. But good people, understand is that he did not remain in the grave, but rather the Bible tells us that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. 3 days after he went into the tomb, Jesus was brought forth out of that tomb by the power and the glory of our God. Jesus was then seen alive by many witnesses. He was seen by about 500 brethren at once. He was seen by Cephas. He was seen last of all, the Apostle Paul says, by him as one being born out of due time. Good people, also we understand that ultimately Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven where he had come from. He ascended back. where He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning on high. But yet God wants mankind to know, constantly to be thinking about, and to realize that Jesus Christ is indeed coming again. While He now is in heaven, the Bible makes it very clear that He will return again. What can we learn will take place whenever Jesus Christ comes again? Good people, what does the Bible say in regard to the return of Jesus? The Bible tells us that many people will be caught off guard. Many people will be surprised whenever Jesus comes. We live in a world today where people are looking for signs to the return of Jesus. And good people, they draw this conclusion based out of, in large part, what is taught in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 25. And in the context of what is presented here, first off, we need to understand is that He's speaking in apocalyptic language. And what that literally means is that it is a language of symbols, codes, and signs. In all of this, we need to understand the context of what's going on. What's under consideration here? In the book of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus had condemned the scribes and the Pharisees for their inconsistency in stating the law, but yet at the same time not keeping the law. And in fact, they had added to the law of God. In the latter portion of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, "So long I've longed to gather you together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And then Jesus turns to Jerusalem and He identifies that the city of Jerusalem is going to collapse, and in all of this, that Judaism is going to fold. While at the cross, Jesus nailed the law to the cross. Good people, understand in the context, Judaism as a governing body continued on for a period of time. And it wasn't until 70 AD that Rome came in upon the Israelites, upon the Jews, and it is at that time then is that Judaism is taken away. It is obliterated. And the signs that are identified here in the context point to that given time when God would allow Judaism to fully collapse in upon itself. In all of this, the Bible tells us that there will be no signs whenever Jesus Christ comes. Whenever Jesus comes, could people understand, according to what the Apostle Paul taught to the saints at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, he says that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. Now, I'm grateful, very much so, that we've never had in our home a thief to break in. But from what I have understood from maybe those of you who have had that happen to you, or from what I've even read and what I see on television, is that a thief does not announce that he's coming. He doesn't send you a letter in the mail and to say, "Hey, listen, at such and such a date and such and such, such a time, I'm going to be there. Would you please be gone? Or would you please be ready for that?" He doesn't act in any way to give us any indication that he or she is going to break into our home, but rather they come in a very silent manner. They come at a point where we are not expecting it. And in like figure, the Bible tells us that whenever Jesus Christ comes, it will be a surprise to many. There will be no signs. And for this reason, Christians are warned. They're warned to not allow themselves to be caught up in the world, but rather to make certain that we stand always ready, looking for and longing for the day in which Jesus Christ our Lord will return. And mankind has this life, the time that you and I now live in. Whenever we are breathing, whenever we are participants here in this world, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. And good people, if man wants to stand before God and to be justified, if mankind wants to enter into heaven and to spend eternity there with our God, man needs to take time to take the steps to prepare his soul for that great and glorious day, so that whenever Jesus does come, that you and that I will not be caught off guard, that we will not be surprised in His return. The Bible also tells us that in that day, there'll be an amazing resurrection. The Bible tells us that Jesus Himself was the resurrection. And what does it mean that Jesus is the resurrection? Good people, it speaks concerning His power over death. Death cannot have any consequence. Death cannot have any reign or power over Jesus. Why? Because Jesus Christ Himself is more powerful than death itself. And Jesus demonstrated His power over death in and throughout the course of His life. We understand that Jesus, whenever He looked up on this widow from Nain and her dead son, as He met this woman and the funeral procession carrying her dead son, that Jesus had compassion upon this woman, and good people, based out of His compassion and with the power that He has as being deity, He raised this young man from the grave. Also, Jairus' daughter, Jesus raised her from the dead. And Lazarus, we understand, as is taught in the book of John chapter 11 and verse 35, Jesus wept. Why? Because Lazarus was dead. And Lazarus being dead for 4 days, Jesus brought Lazarus out of the grave. And good people, understand that time even doesn't have any factor over how Jesus is able to raise the dead. It doesn't matter how long an individual has been dead and how deteriorated that body is. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ Himself has power to bring that soul back to life. Jesus Himself was resurrected from the grave. The Bible tells us that Jesus' resurrection from the grave was in compliance with 100% to the prophecies that were stated concerning Him and His resurrection in the Old Testament. We also understand that with the resurrection of Jesus, that He was resurrected by the power and the glory of our God and Father. And Jesus Christ Himself has promised us that we too shall face the resurrection. And good people, understand that whenever we die, or whenever we have family members who die, it's not the end, but rather for the Christian, it is indeed the beginning, knowing that the soul continues to live on. The soul that God has placed within us, it departs from that physical fleshly body that goes to the ground and decays and rots and turns back and to the ground, and that soul continues then to dwell on in eternity. It departs into the Hadean realm. And good people, understand that whenever Jesus Christ returns, is that soul will stand before God in judgment. And if we are faithful before God, we shall spend eternity in heaven with God. There is indeed a great and glorious resurrection coming. But the Bible tells us that there is a day in which there will be an amazing transformation take place. The body is not eternal. We have been created after the very image of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In all of this, God has given us physical, fleshly bodies. He's given us blood to flow through our veins, to give us life while we live here. And God wants us to understand that life here upon the face of the earth, that it is numbered. Our days are numbered. In fact, in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14, we understand that life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Peter understood this as he taught in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 through 15. And he says that he is getting ready to depart, to leave this present world. And good people, he says that he's going to shed this tent that God has given him. He calls the body a tent. Years ago, whenever our family was starting to do some camping, we bought a tent. And we set that tent up, I believe, first out in Wyoming, Bighorn, Wyoming. And the temperature got down to about 29, 28 degrees that night, and we froze to death. It couldn't keep the elements away from us, at least all of them. And the longer we camped in that tent, throughout the years, that tent grew old. That tent continued to have more and more problems. And I believe that what a beautiful analogy God has given us concerning us and our physical body is that the longer that we're here, the more that we face, the worse that it becomes for this physical body that we have, the sickness, the disease, and all that we face. And by all means, we know that life upon the face of the earth, that is not meant to last forever. Whenever the body dies, whenever mankind passes from this life into eternity, what happens? The body returns to the ground from whence it came. And good people, in all of this, yes, over time, we understand is that it does decay. and that the body, the physical, fleshly body, though it is in the ground, and though we may put a tomb over it to preserve it in some form or fashion, the truth of the matter is that it will still rot and decay. Why? Because that is indeed the way in which it has been designed. The body, the physical body, cannot enter into heaven. It is impossible for flesh and blood. Why? Because, good people, it is here in this world of which this body was given for. In heaven, we will be spiritual beings. We will be given a new body. What type of body will that be, you might say? Good people, the body that we will have in the end will be like Jesus. We will be changed in the resurrection. We will be transformed. And how quick will that take place, the Bible tells, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All will be changed. And at that time, we will be given a new, a spiritual body. A body that will be in the presence, and a body that will appear also like Jesus. And somebody might say, Kevin, what does that look like? And you look that up and you tell me. The Bible doesn't tell us, but what we can take hope in, and what certainly brings us great joy, is to know that Jesus Christ has a glorious body. And you and I shall have that same type of a representation whenever we are in heaven with our God. The Bible also tells us that whenever Jesus Christ comes, that there will be a great destruction. The earth was created by God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we understand as we read on down through the discourse of Genesis chapter 1 is that God formed and fashioned the earth in 6 days. And then He rested. He completed His work and rested upon the seventh day. And good people, in all of this, we understand that God, not evolution, but rather that God is responsible for the existence of this world, of this universe, and all that we have. And today, the world, the universe, is upheld through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus Christ continues to operate in heaven, making certain that everything that we have here in this world from a universal standpoint continues to rotate, continues to exist to the point to where life is able to maintain and to be sustained here in this world. Also, we need to understand that the earth has begun to wind down. In all of this, this lines up, does it not, with the second law of thermodynamics? Good people, in all of what we find here is that scientists themselves say that it appears at one point in time that the world was fully wound up. But since that time, it has started to wind down. And the Bible tells us that by all means the world has started to wind down. And God tells us this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Do not love the world, because note what He says, the world is passing away. It is already starting to happen. It's that we're winding down. Now understand, is that with it winding down, it's not that someday it's going to collapse within itself, but rather that God's going to bring that destruction upon it. But God wants us to understand is that, yes, the world was wound up, and He was behind it, winding it. He's the Creator of all these things, and now He's allowing it to wind down. Why? Because it was never meant to be here forever. The earth will be completely destroyed whenever Jesus Christ comes to this world. Those of premillennialism who assert that there's going to be 2, maybe 3 different comings of Jesus, and that Jesus is going to establish a physical earthly kingdom for 1,000 years, good people, that is never taught in the Bible. What is taught in the Bible? Sudden, immediate, and imminent destruction. Complete destruction. Total annihilation, not of the soul. The soul is eternal. But total annihilation of the earth. It will be consumed. The Bible makes this very clear, saying that it will melt with fervent heat. Jesus will return, according to what is taught by the Apostle Paul to the saints at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Complete destruction will indeed take place here in this world. And I tell you that I do not want to be a part of that. I can't wait for that day when Jesus will return to take us out of this world and to deliver us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, unto our Heavenly Father. When Jesus returns, it will be a great day of destruction. But also the Bible tells us that whenever Jesus returns, is that it will be a day of judgment. The judgment day is coming. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, as is appointed to man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. Every soul will one day stand before God in judgment. When will that day be? It will be when Jesus Christ returns. And when Jesus returns, no one is going to be able to escape the judgment. There will not be two different judgment days. There will not be a multiplicity of different judgments that God will announce upon certain groups of people, but rather the Bible says that all of us will be joined together and that each one of us will stand before God individually. And it doesn't matter if the individual has claimed to be an atheist during the course of this life. They will indeed be a believer in God in that day. But understand, it will be too late in that day. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. What will they confess? They will confess God. They will confess Christ. But yet at the same time, not for terms of salvation, but rather, good people, for acknowledgement that indeed that He is. And that He is a rewarder, I believe, of those who diligently seek Him. But these individuals, the Bible tells us, will be lost. Why will they be lost? Good people, because all of us will give an account of our life when Jesus comes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says that we will give an account of our good and the evil things that we have done in this world. And if we have violated the laws of God to the point to where we're outside of the realm of salvation, as Christians that is, we shall be lost. And all those who have never named the name of Christ. You say, Kevin, what do you mean name the name of Christ? I mean all those who are not members of the Lord's church. The church that Jesus Christ died for. All those who have never confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. All those who have never submitted themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. All of those people will be eternally lost. And good people, that brings me great sadness to think in regard to the state of the majority of the world of which we now reside in. And I can only imagine how our God must feel to know that in that day of judgment, that a majority will be lost eternally. In that day, all of man's works will be revealed. There will be no secrets. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 defines this. And God will sentence each soul in eternity. To those who are His, to those who have remained faithful as His, heaven. You and I will go to heaven because of our obedience to Christ and because we continue to obey Christ each and every day of our life. And what a blessing that is. Amen, brothers and sisters. But to those who do not know God, their eternal reward will be separation from God. Their eternal reward will be hell with Satan and with his cohorts, where the Bible tells us that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Good people, there will be no second chances as defined or given by premillennialism, but rather today is the day of salvation. And today we ask you, are you prepared for that day to come? Are you ready for Jesus Christ to return? If you are not, please make that preparation today.